Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. For those of you who are in the LA area, the guest calling number is area code 424-258-9337. And for those of you everywhere else, including here in the beautiful but a bit foggy San Francisco Bay Area, the toll-free calling number is 877-697-9725. So usually, producer Kina is there on the spot with the chat room, but she has not logged in yet. So I'm sure that she's probably just busy with something. So if you have any questions that you would like, go ahead and call in, and you get patched through straight to me. So today, we're going to be talking about tears as the purest prayer. And when we talk about the idea of that place where really at some time in all of our lives we've reached that breaking point, and it's a place where we are so overwhelmed by the gap between the world the way we want it to be and the world the way it is, that it can just literally break our hearts. There's a saying from Deepak Chopra, surrender is faith that the power of love can accomplish anything, even when you cannot foresee the outcome. So we're going to look at that place of that absolute down on your knees place of surrender. And it's an important thing to acknowledge, because the body cries the tears that the eyes do not. And let me say that again. We're going to talk a little bit about that. The body cries the tears that the eyes don't. When that level of stress comes up on you, and it may be, you know, it may be one big thing, or maybe it's a whole bunch of little things. And when we go into that place of just having everything just pile up on top of us. Maybe it's money worries. Maybe it's relationship worries. Maybe it's loneliness. When we reach that place where we cannot solve this problem, where we're forced into that place of accepting that we cannot control the situation, what happens after that? Now, there's all kinds of different ways that people connect with the universe. And whatever way works for you, whatever is right for you, whatever spiritual practice or philosophy, whatever. Whatever works for you, I love it for you. And when we reach that place where we have to go to that because we've got nowhere else to go, that is a tremendously important moment. That illusion of trying to claim the ability to direct things that have just spun out of what we can grasp. By accepting and reaching that place of just breaking down and crying, there are few things that are actually better for the human body than crying. That it's a release. It happens on both an emotional level, a spiritual level, a physical level, and a psychological level. Often, you know, it's what did many of our young men grow up with? Big boys don't cry. You know, you know, quit crying. What are you, a crybaby? And in some ways, it was, I mean, the idea behind it was the desire to be strong. You know, wanting our kids to be strong. And that was a message that, you know, the world is a tough place. So, you know, you got to buck up and you got to deal with it and, you know, face it and be brave. And all of those ideas that are not necessarily wrong, and the way they're implemented is not the best. You know, when growing up, it was always about, you know, well, you know, you've got to act grown up. Don't cry or stop crying. Well, maybe that came from somebody who really didn't know how to deal with someone else's tears. And people who shut down emotionally, that's energy. That what is driving you to cry is energy. And a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, told me that the way he looked at it, emotion is energy in motion. But what happens when we try to stop that motion? What happens when we try to shut off a natural process? Well, it creates high blood pressure. It can create chronic headaches. It can create body pain. And there's a lot of research that talks about the role that stress plays in our health and what type of effects it can have. I mean, everything from insulin to, you know, and they're making connections between stress and cancer and stress and other terminal illness. Not that that's the only thing that causes it. It definitely adds to it. It becomes a factor in it. And when we look at that place, when we really, nothing better than to have a really good cry, why not? I mean, maybe not while you're driving. That might not be a good thing, but you can pull over. One of the biggest things that when I talk to people about the fact that sometimes they just need a good cry, and often they will tell me, I'm afraid that if I start, I won't stop. Guess what? You will stop. The body will exhaust itself. Now, you may go take a nap afterwards, and that would be a good thing too. But when, you know, we reach that place of just surrendering to our sorrow, surrendering to our fear, surrendering to our despair, it doesn't mean you're going to stay there. It just means you visit. We're all meant to visit there every once in a while because sometimes life can be really hard and it can wear us down. And I have known that at those times in my life where I just saw no solutions. I was beyond tired. I was beyond afraid. I was beyond, you know, depressed or everything. I was totally overwhelmed. And I just collapse and surrender myself to the crying jag that had been wanting to come out for a really long time. And afterwards, you know, I sniff, I wipe my face, and then I go, okay, that actually felt kind of good. Now what do I do? And I find that I'm able to more clearly find my way to solutions. It's like, okay, what do I have to deal with? Because I'm not dealing with that backed up energy that makes it so I just can't think. You know, when you're in that place of just, you can't do it anymore, you can't deal with it, you can't find solutions, you can't try to plug little holes, you know, in the boat that is leaking. When you reach that place, then the tears become, in my mind, purest prayer that there is. It goes into that place of, I can't do this. Help me, please. And we are listened to. We're heard. And it's that place of total surrender. I mean, you know, generally, for the most part, none of us like to just, you know, break down, nose running, eyes puffing up, bawling. And as long as we can convince ourselves that we have, you know, the illusion of control, that we can handle it. I'm not bothered. I don't have a problem. I can handle this. As long as we keep that up, and the universe will let us, God, creator, however you envision it, you know, that consciousness in the universe that actually does pay attention to us, it'll wait, tremendously patient, because it knows that ultimately we've got to surrender. We've got to give up the illusion. We've got to come to that place of just acceptance of what it is that we need to do in order to move past the spot we're in. And for me, and you know, understand that whenever I say anything, it's one, I'm speaking from my heart. And two, these are things that through my own experiences, I have found to help. And I offer them as possible insights into something that might help you. And when you reach that place of just, I can't do this, what comes past that? And what comes past that is choice. Different people choose different things. Some people choose to, you know, turn to either drugs or alcohol. Some people turn to angry behavior. Some people turn to total self-denial and just, you know, waiting for that ulcer to build up. Some people turn to, you know, blaming the world around them. Some people just ignore it. And I'm not saying that any of those things are necessarily bad. I don't go with judging one thing over another. They're choices. And the consideration is that the best choice you can choose in that moment? My feeling is something that should be on that list of choices is to go and grieve what is happening to you, to mourn the loss of the world as the way you wanted it to be. Because it's through acknowledging that that you can get past it. Yes, the world isn't the way I want it to be. Now what? But it's hard to get to that point when you're still believing that you can force the world to be what you want it to be. It's like, well, you know, I did my vision board and I've said affirmations and, you know, and I've done this and I've done that and, you know, maybe I worked my butt off and this particular thing didn't happen. I was expecting this and it didn't go and, you know, and you're still trying to, you know, do that juggling act. And it reaches that point where you're backed into a corner and you look around and you can't see the solution. It's not saying it's not there. It's just in that moment you can't see it. And sometimes by having that good, solid, grieving release, releasing that energy will suddenly allow you to see the solution. Releasing that energy will allow you to go into that place of maybe asking someone for help. You know, finances are really bad. Well, maybe there's someone you need to ask if you can borrow some money to, you know, get you by. Or maybe there's some stuff that you need to give up. And figuring that out is a lot easier after you reach that place of, I'm not able to do this in the way that I've been doing it. I've got to accept that some days you get the bear and some days the bear gets you. And maybe it's not your day. Tomorrow might be. Letting go and just surrendering to the sorrow. There's nothing wrong with that. You will stop crying, but letting yourself experience it. And often, you know, when people, you know, as a chiropractor, I see, you know, I see motor vehicle accident patients. I see people who, you know, maybe had a fall or were injured, and there's that emotional piece that's attached to it. Motor vehicle accidents can be very traumatizing because of the fact, and usually like if it comes out of nowhere, there's suddenly that sense of not being safe. There's that, oh my gosh, you know, I'm vulnerable, or I got hurt, or I got scared. Or if somebody experiences, you know, a loss of a family member or a friend or a pet, you know, pets count as family members too. And, you know, they get so wrapped up in managing it, they don't want to step into that place of grief where, you know, because that whole process is about giving over what it is you're holding inside of yourself and releasing it to the universe, letting it go. You know, allow yourself a pity party. Allow yourself to feel bad. And it doesn't matter if you know, what the blame is, what the cause is. It just goes into that place of I'm hurting and I need to let myself hurt. Okay, we've got a call from here in the area. And let's see, we have, it's producer Kina. There she is. So for some reason, I guess she wasn't able to get to her regular phone, so I will figure that she's probably over in, you know, she may have opened up the chat room. So we're just going to go along, and if you are in the chat room, say hi, Kina. So let's talk about the steps that we can take to allow ourselves to go into that place of our purest prayer, to go into that place in a healthy way of letting yourself be yourself. It's a, you know, it's all about being authentic. If you are authentically sad in any given moment, be authentically sad. You don't have to have a reason for it. You don't have to have an excuse. You don't have to have a justification. For whatever reason, you're sad. Maybe your football team lost. And, you know, some people get very wrapped up in that. And it really creates a lot of emotion. You know, it's a good game. It's one of those tight games. And you lose it just by, you know, your fingernails. And the team goes down. And I've known people who get tremendously upset, to the point of tears, because, you know, their football team didn't win. And a lot of people would say, well, that's trivial. That's not that important. But it's important to them. My response is, you know what? I am so sorry. I'm really sorry that, you know, that your team didn't win. And just acknowledging that usually makes them feel better. It helps them to move past it because they're not being told, it's like, well, what are you upset about that for? We never know where that point is, that tipping point. It doesn't have to be a huge, overwhelming thing. What brings us to that place of needing a good cry, it doesn't have to be something big. All it has to be is something that affects you. It doesn't have to make sense to anyone else. And if you're dealing with someone who is just, they just need a good cry for no particular reason, maybe they just need someone to hold them while they go through that. You don't even have to know. You can just be there for them and understand that whether you understand why they're upset, you know, it is completely unimportant. The important issue is that they're upset and they need that time to release. And I think it's about time for us to stop telling each other as a species that you shouldn't cry, that you should be strong, that crying equals weak. It doesn't. Crying is actually one of the strongest things that we can do, especially when it's witnessed, especially when we allow someone the absolute gift of holding that space for us, of being there for us. Most of us have at least one person. You know, some of us are blessed with more than one person, but you have at least one person that you can go to and just let it go and not worry about what they think. And I'd be willing to bet that each and every one of you are that person for someone else. There's someone in your life that you are able to just hold them, and they can come to you and they can let go and just cry, and you just hold them through it. You don't even have to know why. For those of us who are parents, you know, it's usually our children that no matter what, if they're just in that place, and you can tell when somebody is there, which, you know, it's, let's look at how do you know when somebody needs that from you? I mean, look at them physically. You know, they usually look very tight. Their fists may be clenched. You know, maybe they're blinking a lot. You know, their respiration may have changed. Their breathing may have changed. Now, there are times when people are like that, and maybe in that moment they can't let go, and they'll tell you. It's like, look, I cannot let go right now, but I will need you when I'm ready to. And you just let them be in that place. Let them decide. Because especially if those tears are because of things that happen that's outside of that person's control, one of the best things that you can offer them is the ability to choose, to look at them and say, I'm here for you. I'm right here. And whatever you need from me in this moment, whether it's just to hold on to you while you let go and just keep handing you tissues or let your nose run all over my shirt, that's okay. Or maybe it's just, you know, you stand next to them. And when they say, you know what, I can't let go right now, it's like, you know what, I get it. But I'm right here. I got your back. And we're going to see this through together. You're not alone. So when it comes from that place of either being the person who needs to have a good cry or supporting someone who needs to have a good cry, it's a tremendously sacred moment that you're entering into. I like referring to it as the purest prayer, because that's when I know for me, that's when I am praying from my absolute heart, is when I'm in that place of just down on my knees, just sobbing. And I've been there. I've been in that place of I don't know what to do, and I don't have anybody here who in that moment can fix this for me. I don't know how to handle this. It's those times when I wish I was a little girl again and my mom and dad were there, because I could always go to them and, you know, they would always be able to fix it. And being grown and both my parents, you know, have passed on, it's those times that I miss the most. And yet I can still feel that love for me. I can still feel that support. Because no matter where they are, I know they still love me. And sometimes it's surrendering to that peace that allows me to move past where I am, to move past the despair, to move past the story that I've told myself about this situation. And I accept that I'm not totally in charge. But once I get that energy out, once I release it, once I offer it to the universe, I wipe my face and I take a couple of deep breaths and I go, okay, what have I got to work with? Because now I can see clearly, or at least a little bit clearer, because I don't have all the story that's built up about how I need to be brave and grown and I need to have all the answers. None of us have all the answers, not a one. We're all figuring it out as we go along. We're all trying to manage it the best way we can. And everybody does the best they can with the tools they have in that moment. So maybe, you know, the solution isn't as easy as you hoped it would be. And maybe, you know, you've got to step back on the ego and step into that place of a little more humility and ask for help. Or maybe it's someone who comes to you and says, I need help. And they come to you because they know you're going to be there. And you do your best for them. Sometimes the best thing we can do is sit and cry with someone. And just be authentic in that moment with them. Either way, tears aren't bad. And they will stop. And sometimes it's a lot easier to see the way through something once you take out that emotion piece, once you honor the fact that grieving is a natural part of who we are and what we are. If we never felt bad about anything, we wouldn't really know what it felt like to feel really good about something. We need to have that point of reference. It's fun till it isn't, and it sucks until it doesn't. We're going to move back and forth between that. And that's probably one of the coolest things that lets us know that we're alive and that we're part of something bigger. Let go. You can do it by yourself. You can do it with somebody. But just give yourself the space. If you have something to mourn, mourn it, because you won't be mourning forever. If you need to cry, cry, because you won't be crying forever. It all balances out. And sometimes just letting go becomes that perfect prayer, that purest prayer. Because it's at that point when we reach out to the universe or whatever we define that as, that's when we remember that there's someone listening. So I want to thank you all for being with me again on another Thursday. I will be checking into the chat room after the show's over. So if there's anybody who would like to ask me any questions or make any comments or tell me that I'm full of it or that it was really cool, whatever. I take full responsibility for the fact that I could be wrong. And like I said, when I speak from my heart, and I speak from the experience that I've had in my little limited half a century on this planet. I don't know everything, and I don't have all the answers. But I think together we can figure them out. If you would like to learn more about me, or to arrange for me to come where you are and maybe do a talk, you can find out about me at www.the-healing-house.com. That is my office website, and it can also connect you to my meetup group, which those of you who are familiar with meetup.com, we have on meetup.com, Healing House Events. This Sunday, for those of you who are going to be in the Bay Area, here at the Center for Creative Living, I will be doing a talk on the Druidic New Year's, which is Samhain, and it is the equivalent of Samhain and Halloween. And in the Druidic tradition, this is the New Year. So we'll be talking about how that is celebrated and creating the blueprint for the new year. And if you show up then and tell me you're a Blog Talk Radio listener, I will give you a free book and autograph it for you. So either way, I wish you all blessings. I wish you a great week. I wish you cleansing crying. And I will see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.